You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, let me just say what a joy it is to be with you this weekend. As in our staff, our executive staff, the bishop's staff, we started talking about how we could care for our pastors and our churches when they weren't having services and we weren't traveling to be with our churches. We were all feeling a little kind of out of place and not needed, because we're used to traveling and being in a different church every Sunday. And so I said, not only to the bishop and our staff, but to our executive council on which Pastor Jones serves, you know, I think one of the ways we can support our congregations and our pastors is, you know, the pastors have been working sometimes double time and triple time, maybe from home unusually, but they've been putting in a lot of time and hours during the coronavirus. And I think we could be helpful to them just to show up and preach for them when they need to have a Sunday off. Well, of course, Pastor Jones right away jumped on that, and here I am. And I'm happy to be here. As she texted with her last evening. She called me this morning just to make sure everything was set. And I said, "You know, Pastor Melinda, the one thing you didn't tell me about was what the weather was going to be like." She recommended we stay out at the inn at Middleton, which we did, but after walking the grounds and enjoying that last evening, we felt like we'd been in the swimming pool, you understand what I'm talking about, but we live in Jacksonville, Florida, where it can get hot and humid as well. So it's a joy to be with you. I bring you greetings on behalf of Bishop Dan Selbo, Bishop of the NALC, and all your brothers and sisters in our church body. You know, to understand any passage in Holy Scripture, it's always helpful, and I think I might add, it's always necessary to read what comes before this particular passage. Context in Scripture, as in life, is critically important. For example, with regard to our gospel reading for today, it is useful for us to ask why Jesus tells the parable of the sower sowing seed, so that we can better understand its meaning for us today, especially those of us who no longer live in agricultural surroundings, those of us whose lives are no longer turning on the seasons of sowing seed and harvesting fields. So where do we begin as we're hearing this parable aimed specifically in Jesus' day at people who would understand the experience of a sower casting seed willy-nilly on the path and on the rocky ground and among thorns, and some, yes, some, inevitably on good soil? Well, we begin with the words of Matthew in verse 1 of this chapter, where Matthew points out that the telling of this parable took place on that same day. So it's important that this happens immediately after what had just taken place. And what had just taken place? Jesus had been in a house, as Matthew describes the scene, telling us that Jesus went out of the house and he sat beside the sea. But while he was in the house, just before, Jesus' mother and brothers had stood outside the house asking to speak to Jesus. Now, elsewhere, we have learned in the Gospels that they came to Jesus because they were afraid for him, as some reported that Jesus was beside himself. And we aren't told here whether Jesus spoke to his family or not. Regardless, it is clear that there is some tension in this situation, as Jesus asks, "And who is my mother and my brethren? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The truth is, it had become increasingly clear in Jesus' life and ministry that there were those who came to him. There were those who listened to him and received the good news of the word of the kingdom, while there were others who heard the very same word and either turned away unbelieving, or they attacked Jesus, accusing him of false teaching or blasphemy, which meant he would be guilty and condemned to death. In chapter 12, just before, we hear about Jesus and his disciples plucking grain on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees saw it, and they criticized Jesus and his followers for profaning the Sabbath. And then Jesus healed a man with a withered hand, restoring his ability to live and to work, while the Pharisees took counsel against Jesus, trying to figure out how to destroy him and silence him. And after Jesus healed a blind man who couldn't speak, he was then accused of acting by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. And in the midst of both healing and restoration, as well as rejection and accusation, in the midst of questions about whether Jesus was acting out of divine goodness and power or whether he was possessed by a spirit of evil, now his family comes to speak with him. And I think we would all admit Jesus' answer leaves one wondering, What's Jesus saying here about his mother and his brothers? Are his mother and brethren not believers at this point? Are they there to save him from himself? Have even his own family not received the word of the kingdom and come to believe in him as Son of God and Savior? It's certainly an open question at this point, and Jesus leaves it open, which at this point in the Gospel of Matthew left his disciples and those who were following wondering, you know, if people don't accept Jesus and his preaching, teaching, and ministry, what chance do we have of reaching unbelievers? Not too long ago, Jesus had called the 12 and he sent them out saying, go nowhere among the Gentiles and the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet at the same time, he prepared them for rejection and persecution and division as he said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. All of which would leave any disciple and follower of Jesus pondering, what have I gotten myself into? The harvest may be plentiful, as Jesus says, but no wonder the laborers are few. Who would want to go out to work in the fields when even Jesus is doubted and rejected? Which might be why the Lord told then this parable of the sower. He told it to encourage his disciples then and now to keep on sowing. To just keep on sowing the seed of God's word, no matter how it's received, no matter who hears and who doesn't. To keep on sharing God's word, even when it is our own family, our own children and grandchildren, who seem to be indifferent to it, or worse, who seem to reject it. Now, on the one hand, we would all like to know that when we share God's word with casual acquaintances or those we meet in the course of our day, they might be touched in some small way and come to know Jesus and his love. On the other hand, what most of us disciples of Jesus pray for and wish for and hope for is that our witness, humble as it might be, will find good soil in our loved ones who have never believed or who have fallen away from the faith or maybe have rejected God's word and no longer know Jesus as Savior. Whether it's our adult children, or teenage nephews and nieces, or grandkids, or brothers and sisters, we all have those whom we love and care for who are not hearing the word and understanding it and bearing fruit in their lives. So we continue to share God's love and the word of the kingdom with them in genuine, humble ways. We continue to remind them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We continue to share the good news that Christ Jesus died for the ungodly while we were yet sinners. And then we look every day for the slightest hint of growth, for the slimmest sprout, which might indicate that God's word is taking root in their lives. And we are frustrated and disappointed when we see no response, no growth, no fruit. And that's when the parable of the sower speaks most powerfully to you and to me, proclaiming to us God's truth about human nature and sin and evil and the world in which we live. The truth is, sometimes the word of God, which we keep trying to plant in those we meet and love and care for, will fall on deaf ears and wither and have no effect. The truth is, sometimes the word of God, which we keep trying to plant, will be choked out by sin and evil, by addiction and abuse and idolatry. The truth is, at other times, the word of God will surprisingly and unexpectedly, in God's timing, take root and grow deeply and then blossom and flourish, abounding in good fruit that brings glory to their Father in heaven. And that's why we can never give up on scattering the seed or trying to speak God's word, whether it's to our children and young people, family members and neighbors, no matter how unreceptive they might seem. The Lord is encouraging us in this text, in this parable, to keep on sowing the seed, which is the word of God, even when it seems fruitless. And we're to keep on sowing for two reasons. First, because God assures us that he will accomplish what he promises. And second, because it's not our concern how receptive others might be to the word. Our focus is to keep on planting the seed. In our first lesson, the prophet reminds the Israelites that though their cherished land had been overrun by heathen empires, though their divinely ordained monarchy had been overthrown by pagans, he would keep his covenant with them. While their country was still occupied by others, while their people were still in exile in a foreign land, God spoke through Isaiah to remind them yet again that God is still God, creating and recreating for his purposes, giving growth and new life to Israel. To them and to us, the Lord God says in our first lesson, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We keep on sowing the seed of God's word, not because we trust ourselves and our abilities as planters, but because we trust God and his word. Because we trust that God's word will bring about his purposes ultimately, no matter how bitter, spiteful, or unreceptive people might seem. People with whom we are sharing God's word. Our task as Christians is to know God's word and to share God's word. We are to sow the word of God in every opportunity he gives us, without questioning whether the person is open or ready or willing. We sow the seed of God's word, casting it on rocky ground and on the path and among the thorns, as well as on good soil, trusting that because it is God's word, it won't return to him empty, finally. How the seed lands, the growth that will or will not occur, that's God's concern. Ours is simply to keep on sowing, sharing a verse from Scripture, telling someone about the love of God, inviting someone into relationship with Jesus, teaching a Sunday school class, being a mentor for a young person, teaching your own children the great stories of the Bible, trusting that God will accomplish the growth. Trusting that God will bring about results in his time, at his discretion, for his purpose. The parable that we hear today shows us how the sower kept sowing without regard for where the seed fell, not worrying about the kind of soil or the dangers that surrounded the seed or the obstacles to growth that were present. The sower just kept sowing liberally all over the place, leaving the growth and nourishment to God. And isn't there a blessed freedom in the fact that we are just sowers? Freedom from worry about what's happening to the seed. Freedom from fear about the future of our children and teenagers. Freedom from feelings of guilt and shame when our children don't appear receptive. Freedom from bearing the full responsibility from members who might distance themselves from Christ and his church. Freedom from concern about how an acquaintance or a family member will react to our sharing a bit of God's word with them. Jesus intends here to free us from such anxiety and concern. He intends to free us for the spreading of the word of God whenever and wherever we can, trusting that the God who prunes and cuts down also gives growth and fruit and will bring about his divine will and plan, remaining faithful to his promises. So, you and I, in our daily lives, just keep on sowing. We keep on sharing the seed of God's word in the lives of little ones newly baptized in our midst. We keep on sowing the seed of God's word in the lives of children and teenagers. We keep on sowing the seed of God's word with those who may be sick or be dying or struggling with virus or disease. We keep on sowing the seed of God's word in our congregations, in our families, in whatever places we live and move and serve. Because God and his word alone are trustworthy and powerful. So let's keep on sowing. Keep on spreading. Keep on sharing the word of our God and the word of his kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.